to the organizers for inviting me and giving me the chance to talk. Thank you all for coming. So I'm going to talk about elliptic vibrations on Kummer surfaces. And I think I'm going to cite about half the people in this room. So that's going to be fun. So roughly my goal is the following. So let me say, first I'm going to describe all the elliptic vibrations on a generic Jacobian Kummer surface. So I'll tell you what this is, and then I'll tell you a little bit about some applications. So in particular, a sort of stress on one application, which is describing using some elliptic vibrations to describe a connection with moduli spaces of principally polarized abelian surfaces. So one connection. Moduli spaces of principally polarized abelian surfaces. And then also use this to say a little bit about computing equations for Hilbert modular surfaces. So of this, the computing, this application to computing Hilbert modular surfaces is joint work with Professor Elkies. And it comes out as one of the applications of something I did in my thesis, which is making explicit a construction of Dolgachev to get this connection with moduli spaces, moduli of principally polarized abelian surfaces. So that's roughly the content of the talk. So in some sense, you're getting two talks for the price of one. Okay, so I'll try to finish in time. Sorry? Two talks for the time of one. That's it. Okay, so thankfully, a lot of the basic notions have been introduced by other speakers, so hopefully this should be very little for me to go over basic background. But let me just say a little bit about the introduction. Background or generalities about the setup of the problem. Okay. So let's start with that. So we're going to work over characteristic zero, we'll work over an algebraically closed field in characteristic zero. Work. Although a lot of the results will go through for characteristic not two, but I'm going to let's assume that we're working with the complex numbers. Okay. So suppose you have a K3 surface over K. Then there's a theorem of Sturck from 1985, which says that it says two things. First is that the automorphism group of X is finitely generated. And the other thing that Sturck says is for any even integer b at least minus 2, if you look at the set of complete linear systems, on X having a divisor, so containing a curve of self-intersection D. This is finite modulo the automorphism group. So modulo the automorphism group of the K3 surface is finite. Okay, so that's Sturck's theorem. So this is great. If we know how to compute the automorphism group of X, then we're in very good shape. If we know the non-trivial group and the automorphism group of X, we can get a lot of information about the geometry of X. Okay, so So, however, as has been mentioned by plenty of people, including Professor Dolgachev and Nikulin, so it's hard computing. However, computing your Marxist group in any given instance is difficult. It's pretty hard. So, I mean, there's a classical result, so like Petetsky, Shapiro, and Shafarevich, which says that basically the automorphism group of X is up to finite groups, just the orthogonal group of the Renan-Savary group modulo the Weyl group of the Renan-Savary group. So if you mod out by, I guess it's written 2, if you mod out by the reflections in the minus 2 vectors in the Renan-Savary group. Okay, so if you had a very good handle on the Renan-Savary group, then we sort of have a reasonable handle on the automorphism group of the K3 surface. But if somebody hands you a K3 surface in algebraic form, most of us don't even have a clue as to how to compute the Renan-Savary group. There's no algorithm to, or at least so far, to compute the Renan-Savary group of a K3 surface if you're just given algebraic equations for a K3 surface. And the automorphism group is even sort of even more out of reach. So let me just say that, so from the same paper, and as has been mentioned in the lectures of Nikulin and Professor Elkies, so you have basically a correspondence between genus 1 vibrations x to p1, the 1-1 correspondence between this and sort of nef primitive divisors in the Renan-Savary group of self-intersection 0. So again, this is something you can tell. You can compute the set of elliptic vibrations if you know the Renan-Savary group. And then if you have an even better handle on the Renan-Savary group, you can compute the automorphism group, and you can mod out by the automorphism group, and you'll get a finite set, as Sturck tells you. Okay, so you'll get a finite set of elliptic vibrations. So corollary of Sturck is that the set of elliptic vibrations on X is finite modulo the automorphism group. This is again something Professor Nikulin mentioned in his lecture. Okay. So that means again, to repeat the same fact, so just to stress this point, if you have good control of the Renan-Savary group and you have good control of the automorphism group, then you can write down all the elliptic vibrations on X. Okay. So what we're going to do, so what I'll describe is doing this for a specific type of K3 surface. So we'll do this for compute elliptic vibrations for a generic Jacobian Kummer surface. So in other words, the Kummer surface of the Jacobian of a genus 2 curve, where C is sort of a very general genus 2 curve. Okay, so that's our goal for the first part of the talk. So this is motivated by a question. So this is actually a question that was asked by Professor Kuwata, who's here, and Professor Shioda. So this is motivated. Let me describe a little bit of the background of some of these calculations. So there's some history here and some very nice papers. So let me just say that so in 1989, Professor Ogiso computed, so he classified all the elliptic vibrations that could arise for the Kumar of a product of two elliptic curves. I think he assumed that E1 and E2 are non-isogenous, and maybe, so I don't remember exactly, maybe they're not CM either. Non-isogenous will do. Matthias tells me that that's enough to assume that. Okay, so general in that sense, being non-isogenous. Okay, so and this is a very nice geometric proof. We actually use the algebraic geometry of this Kummer surface. So let me say that the automorphism group of this was actually computed later. So Kim and Professor Kim and Professor Kondo computed the automorphism group in the sense of computing generators. Computed generators for the automorphism group of the Kummer surface of a product of two elliptic curves in 2000. And then, so more recently is 2007, Kuwata and Shioda computed elliptic parameters and wire stress equations for all these elliptic vibrations. Okay. So the reason I'm talking about E1 times E2 is because this is what happens on the boundary of moduli space of principally polarized abelian surfaces. Most of the principally polarized abelian surfaces are Jacobians of genus 2 curves, so they're not decomposable. So what happens for Kummer surface, for this case of Kummer surface of Jacobian of a genus 2 curve? What's the situation there? So there, the automorphism group was computed by Professor Kondo in 1998. Using work of Professor Kim, sort of automorphisms essentially computed this automorphism group in the sense of computing generators for the Kummer surface Jacobian of genus. So he showed that together with the classical automorphisms, these automorphisms generated the entire group. This was also mentioned in Professor Dolgachev's lecture. Okay, so let me just say that. Maurice, sorry? Thank you. Yeah. For ought. Yeah, this one is sort of easier. Okay. I mean, if we're talking about the Nernst-Ferrer group or something. Okay, so that's easier. So recently, let me just say that Professor Ohashi has given found a simpler set of generators or a simpler proof . So now you can generate the entire group using just involutions. Okay, so I complete the remaining part of my program, which is to compute all the elliptic vibrations. The set of vibrations, and then things like the elliptic parameters and the wire stress equations. For these surfaces. So that's sort of the result. The first thing. So let me I'm going to describe a little bit of the setup, and then I'll describe how you actually compute these things, and then I'll maybe go into the applications. Okay. So yeah.
setup.
Okay, so we're going to have a genus 2 curve. So CB, genus 2 curve. Okay. And then we can write its Weierstrass stress equation. S will equal to f of x. Degree f is 5 or 6, let's say. And because we're working on an algebraically closed field, we can actually define the Weierstrass points over k, and we can move them, three of them, to 0, 1, and infinity. So we can then just write, and we can also scale the highest term of f to 1. So we can just write x minus 1, x minus a, x minus b, x minus c. So a, b, and c are, in some sense, parameters on the moduli space of a sort of level 2 rigidified by a level 2 structure, the principally polarized abelian surface. Okay. So let me just recall a little bit of what was said in Professor Dolgachev's lecture. He introduced some of the classical geometry of the Kummer surface. So if you look at the Kummer surface, the Jacobian of C, this has a model as a quartic surface. It's a singular quartic surface in P3. So with 16 nodes, 16 ordinary double points. That's the maximum you can have for a quartic surface in P3. And you can blow these up. So if you want a smooth model for the Kummer surface, so we can blow these up to get 16 minus 2 curves on the non-singular Kummer. And so we'll call these 16 minus 2 P1s. So these are rational curves. So we'll call them nodes. So this is the classical notation. So these are nodes. So i.e. 16 nodes. So nodes will also refer to the classes in the Nerón-Severi group. So also there are classes in Nerón-Severi group of X. Okay, so you have 16 disjoint minus 2 curves coming from blowing up the images of the two torsion points on the Jacobian. And then you also have 16 other classes. So these come from tropes. So tropes are hyperplanes or planes which are tangent to this quartic surface along a conic. And so these give you, so the conics themselves you can call the tropes. And these give you, you also get 16 tropes. So again, you can think of them inside the Nerón-Severi group of X. Okay, so this is all talked about in Professor Dolgachev's lecture. And this configuration of 16 nodes and tropes is a very nice symmetric configuration. It's called the 16-6, very classical 16-6 configuration. It's a strongly regular graph. Every node intersects six tropes and vice versa. Okay, so lambda 16-6, we'll call this the sublattice. Sublattice of the Nerón-Severi group of X generated by the nodes and tropes. So this thing has rank 17, it has signature 116, and it has a discriminant 64. And abstractly, it's isomorphic. So this lattice is always isomorphic. I mean, because it's only, so the 16-6 configuration does not depend on X, it does not depend on the genus 2 curve you've chosen. So the intersection numbers are all just from the graph. So the abstract, as an abstract lattice, is invariant of the genus 2 curve you've chosen. And so it's so abstractly, and the 16-6 isomorphic to 4. So this is rescaled by, form is scaled by 4 plus d8 minus 1 plus d8 minus 1. That's what the lattice is. Okay. So this is, so in general, or in very general, I should say, when you choose a C that's very general, this is going to be the full Nernst-Avery group of the Jacobian of C. So for very general C, this is Nernst-Avery of the Jacobian of the Comer, or the Jacobian of C is isomorphic to lambda 66. So then, when this happens, we'll call C, we'll call this Comer surface a generic Jacobian Comer surface. So So the first thing we need to know about this Comer surface is its automorphism group to be able to sort of carry out this program. And so, thankfully, this has been computed. So let's recap the constructions of Professor Kondo and Kim. So let me go to the next board. Sorry about that. The rough idea of how you compute this automorphism group, and this is kind of a really beautiful idea. So I think it's applicable to many more K3 surfaces, so it's worth knowing this idea. So let's abbreviate S to be, you know, Sx in Professor Nikulin's notation, the Nernst-Avery group of X. X is going to be a generic Jacobian Comer surface. So this is going to be lambda 16.6. Okay. So we're going to embed S inside the even unimodular lattice of signature 1, 1, 25. Okay, so this is abstractly isomorphic to the Leech lattice plus the hyperbolic plane. So the good thing about this lattice is we know how to describe its automorphism group. So Conway described the automorphism group of this lattice by, I should say, you embed S primitively inside here. Let me omit writing that, but that's what you have to embed it primitively. So describe this by describing a fundamental domain D for for the wild group of this lattice. Okay, so in particular, for the subgroup that's generated by some special reflections generated by what are called the Leech vectors. So reflections corresponding to vectors. In this lattice. So they roughly correspond to a vector in the Leech lattice, and then you have to sort of fix things here so you have norm minus 2. Okay. So you have a fundamental domain D for the wild group of this lattice. And then you've embedded S primitively inside there. So what you do is you let D prime be D intersect with the span of the Nernst-Avery group. And so this, what it's going to do is it's going to describe a cone inside this real space. And this cone has a nice property that it's much smaller than the fundamental domain for this thing under the wild group of Sx. Okay, so this is much smaller by an infinite factor. and fundamental domain for f of under and in fact it's so small that it's essentially a fundamental domain for the automorphism group. It turns out to be basically a fundamental domain for a finite index subgroup of the automorphism group of the K3 surface, of the Kummer surface. So let me just say that essentially. Fundamental domain for finite index subgroup of, so it's called N in Professor Kondo's paper, of finite index inside the automorphism group. Okay, so basically what you do now is you combine, so let me just say, let me sort of give a very broad outline. So combining N with the automorphism group of this polytope B prime, you get this hyperbolic polytope. We get the automorphism group of X. Not everything in here can come from an automorphism, but you pull back the things that could come from an automorphism of X, and you combine those with this group N, and then you're done. Is that okay? This is, I'm simplifying things quite a lot. The paper itself is, it's a bit more technical, and it's a beautiful piece of work. Okay. So, all right. So, how can we use this? So, what we can do is, we're going to work directly with this polytope B prime, this cone D prime. So, H is. So somehow D prime is almost a fundamental domain for the Neff cone divided out by the automorphism group. It contains finitely many copies of that. Okay, so now H is the hyperplane class of the cortex surface inside P3. So we can write non-zero elements of D prime up to scaling as just, we can scale the coefficient of H to be 1. So you can write it as sum of H minus alpha mu and mu. So these are the nodes. And these are, a priori they're real numbers, but in fact, so they're real numbers. But in fact, this is a, when you describe it like this, the vertices correspond to rational values of alpha mu, which is a good thing. Okay. So let me just say that. Then you can consider this set. So the nodes are usually labeled N0 through N5, N12, N13, dot, 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 N45. So you think of 0 through 5 is the wire stress points, and you take differences and you get all the nodes. So alpha 0 through alpha 4, 5 is not 45, it's 4, 5. So this is an R16. So the set of all these, when H minus sum of alpha mu and mu, as this ranges over D prime, lying in D prime, so these comprise a compact polytope. It's a finite polytope, okay, in R16. And it's cut out by specific hyperplanes. Which we can compute from the papers of Kondo and Kim. Okay, so we do that. And so that leads directly to the computations. So, yeah, let me just say that, okay. So what we're looking for is divisors which square to zero. Everything in the net cone which squares to zero. And this corresponds to sum of the alpha squared being equal to 2. So you're looking for, and these turn out to be all, so that's going to be a subset of the vertices of this polytope. So what you're looking for is the vertices of this finite polytope, and you're looking for all the ones with norm 2. Okay? So that's the idea. And so what we do is we actually compute all the vertices of this polytope. Okay? So the idea, compute all the vertices of this polytope, the ones of norm 2, give genus 1 fibrations. But it turns out there are a lot of them. So what we want to do is we want to use symmetry somehow. So let me just say that SP4 of F2, which is isomorphic to F6, you can think of SP4 of F2 as the automorphism group of the two torsion points with the wave pairing on the Jacobian, and here you can think of it as acting on the Weierstrass points. So this acts on the 16-6 graph. And so therefore it also acts on the non-severity lattice of X, which is isomorphic to lambda 16-6. And in fact, the automorphism group of this polytope is isomorphic to Z mod 2Z to the fifth semi-direct product with S6. So there's an action on this polytope as well. This is a group of order 23,040. So it acts on this, and so it also acts, S6 also acts on elliptic divisors. And so what you can do is you can use the symmetry to just compute all the elliptic divisors modulo the action of S6. Okay, somehow changing the Weierstrass points is really not going to give you any new models for elliptic models for the Kummer surface. So what you do is mod out by S6 as well. Okay, so that's what we do in the actual calculation. And possibly the best part of the calculation is that you don't even have to do it yourself. So we can plug it into a computer. So we use the software Simpol. So this is a software that was developed by Akhil Sherman and Thomas Wren. At Rostock, and this is, it's great for computing with polytopes, even high dimensional polytopes, as long as you have some symmetry. So under the action of symmetry, this is fantastic. And so so I installed the software and I computed the vertices of this polytope, and it took 5 gigabytes of memory and did it in half an hour. So that was nice. And then I wrote some code to check independently that I had everything. So rest assured, there's no mistake. We do have all the vertices. Let me just say, give you some statistics. So there's about 30 million vertices of this polytope. And under the, so if you mod out by S, by the automorphism, by some, so Simpol doesn't see all of the automorphisms, because not all of them are affine linear. So under the SimPaul gives 2961 vertices under a subgroup, which I believe was index 2 of the automorphism group of D prime. This is the finite group that I'm talking about there. Okay, and of that 2961 vertices, of those 54 have norm 2, so you get 54 elliptic divisors. Okay, so in other words, you get 54 genus 1 elliptic vibrations. Now, some of them might still be equivalent under the automorphism group, because you have, I mean, these are on the edge of the nest polytope, so you might still have accidental identifications between them. So you have to check for that. Anyway, what I was really interested in is genuine elliptic vibrations, not just genus 1. So I wanted elliptic vibrations with a section. Okay, so I discarded the non-Jacobian ones. And so I ended up finally up to the action of the automorphism group with 25 elliptic vibrations. On the commercial. So that's the sort of output theorem that you get. It is 25 different elliptic vibrations on the Comer surface of the Jacobian of the genus 2 curve. So generic, very general, up to the automorphism group of the Jacobian and the action of S6. So that's what you get. And we can even compute, so I should say, then we compute elliptic parameters and wire stress equations using the technique that Professor Elkies described, so the Nishiyama method. I'm going to attach his name as well. So I think actually computing using linear section and so on was something I learned from him. Okay, so you can compute all these, and you only need the two neighbor approach to do this. So let me give you a couple of examples. So you sort of, you need a place to start when you do this, and the place to start is by using the quartic model, and you can very quickly transform it to an elliptic model. Y squared equals 4t x minus t minus 1 ax minus t minus a squared bx minus t minus b squared cx minus t minus c squared. So this is a genus 1 model, but you can then find a section and you can take its Jacobian. Okay. So this is the starting. This very quickly transforms to this. So this is something that was actually found. So this is 4 D4 fibers. And it has full 2 torsion. And it has a section. It has a non-torsion section. So this was found by Professor Shioda, I think 2006 or so. Did I? Okay. There's something off. Let me see. 16, yeah, that's too large. So, sorry? Yes, 44 is impossible, as was pointed out. Sorry? Yeah. Okay, so it's not 4D4. Let me not try to... Yeah, it's not 4D4. Something else, but... Let me not try to... But there is... Yeah, this gives you something, which hopefully Matthias will tell me in a few minutes. And that's where you start from. And then you do Nishiyama's two neighbor method, and you get everything. On the way, you also see this one, which hopefully I've added things correctly. So d6a3a1 to the 6th. Or this is also, there's something wrong. This is right. Okay. And z mod 2 squared. This was found by Professor Kahn. But you also find a whole bunch of others. Okay. So let me describe. Some quick applications and say the story about moduli of genus 2 curves as well. So, section 4, I guess section 3 is computations, section 4 is applications. So one is due to Professor Kuwata. So this completes list of elliptic surfaces of ranks 1 through 18. So the rank is over Q bar of T. Modelway rank. So this was also done, so the only thing that was missing was rank 15, and Remke Klusterman gave an independent proof of that, but this also does it because you can. So these are obtained by doing things like base change from Kummer surfaces, and so this one you can get by actually using a non-Jacobian fibration. So I threw all of them away, but they're actually useful. You can compute with them. So you can take a non-Jacobian fibration with E6, so two E6 fibers. There is one of those, and you can take its Jacobian, and then you can base change by t goes to t cubed, and then you get something which most of the time is going to have Picard number 18. So let me give you an example. Picard number 15. Picard number 17 and rank model way rank 15. So y squared equals x minus 1, x minus 3, x minus 5. Minus 7. If you start from this genus 2 curve, which you can show the Jacobian is simple, you get y squared equals x cubed plus 77 t squared x squared plus 2t 90 to the 6th plus 706 t cubed minus 1050 x plus 90 to the 6th minus 14 t cubed. So this is an elliptic surface, and it's going to have model way rank 15 over q bar of t, though we have no idea of how to write down any of the, I know how to write down a few of the generators, but we don't know what number c is going to be defined over. Okay. So the second application is this gives you some nice models for Kummer surfaces. But since I'm very quickly running out of time, let me skip to the sort of application number 3, which is connection with moduli spaces. Just call it application 2, moduli and arithmetic. So this is something that actually sort of I did much before we computed all the elliptic vibrations. This comes from one particular elliptic vibration. Okay, so this gives you, so the result is there is a birational. When you just say birational map, you can actually make an isomorphism. The moduli space of K3 surfaces polarized by the lattice u plus e8 minus 1 plus e7 minus 1. So that's basically isomorphic to the space of principally polarized abelian surfaces. So this was really proved by Dolgachev. So this was proved by Dolgachev. By constructing a shear dynoise structure on an elliptic K3 surface. With E8 and E7 fibers. And using work of Naruki. So let me just quickly say what happens there. So in other words, you have this sort of setup, so 2-to-1 birational map from X, which has is an elliptic KC surface, E8 and E7 fibers, to Y, which is going to be the Kummer surface of a principally polarized abelian surface. And of course, this has a 2-to-1 rational map from the abelian surface itself. And this setup is the shear dynoise setup that identifies the transcendental cycles on X and A. This is Hodge isometry. Okay? And most of the time, the abelian surface is going to be the Jacobian of a genus 2 curve. And so you can write down, you can try to write down, you can ask for what is the explicit X. So this is something I can edit in my thesis. So X can be written explicitly in terms of the genus 2 curve C. And so if you can write down a Y class equation, that's the following. Y squared equals, it's pretty simple, T cubed. It uses the Igusa-Krebsch invariance of the genus 2 curve. So X cubed minus T cubed, I4 over 12T plus 1, X plus T to the fifth, I10 over 4, T squared, I2, I3, minus, I2, I4, minus 3, I6. Over 108 t plus I2 over 24. So that's, in terms of the genus 2 curve, this is the K3 surface. This has an E8 fiber at infinity, E7 fiber at zero, and this is related by a shear dynoise structure. And so the key to showing something like this, showing some explicit formula, and the key to the construction of Dolgachev is the following. You compute an alternate elliptic fibration. There's another elliptic fibration on this thing. And it has D14 and A1 fibers, but also has a two torsion section. And whenever you have a two torsion section, the obvious way to get a Nikulin involution and to get a 2-to-1 quotient is translation. It's modeled by the translation there. So that gives you an elliptic another K3 surface with an elliptic fibration, which has D9 and 6 A1 fibers. And a two torsion section. And this you need to identify with the dynamical severity lattice of the generic Jacobian Kummer surface. So in other words, you need to give an elliptic fibration. So you need to find an elliptic fibration on the Kummer surface which has those types of fibers. And of course these show up as one of these types, but this was a while before. So I'm not going to write out the class of the fiber. It sort of looks like 5H minus 3 times 2 of the nodes minus 2 times something, some of the other nodes and so on. So in other words, you look for quintics which have cubic singular, triple nodes at these nodes and so on. Yes. the invariance, right? So the ego success invariance. You want me to tell you what they are? Or they're also connected to the invariance of 6 points on P1. But I don't really have time to. So this is in my paper. I explain it. I think it's the penultimate section of my thesis paper. Okay. So the idea of the proof is to come up with this key elliptic vibration. So let me not say too much more. I think you'll hear from Adrian Klinger on Thursday, who will talk about generalization when you have E7 and E7 vibrations. And so we can use a similar, so this will correspond to double covers of P2 branched along union of 6 lines. So anyway, let me know, but there's a similar elliptic divisor that you need to use there. And it gets you there. So we also say that these things, so these are the coordinates on the moduli space of genus 2 curves, and by Igusa's work, they sort of correspond to, they're essentially up to scaling Riegel modular forms of genus 2. Okay, so in the last 2 minutes or so, let me just say, so in recent joint work with Alkes, we used lattice polarized K3 surfaces to compute equations for Humbert surfaces and for Hilbert modular surfaces. And this is an advantage to the current techniques because there's work of Ranga, for instance, which computes equations for Humbert surfaces lying inside inside A2, the Riegel threefold. But those coefficients, so the equations will have very large coefficients, just like if you write down the modular polynomials connecting to isogenous elliptic curves. They're going to have very large coefficients, and you don't really understand much of the geometry if you have that big equation written out. So on the other hand, the way we sort of look at this, you get a much better handle on the Humbert surface as well as the Hilbert modular surface. So very quickly, let me just say that you polarize by an even lattice containing U plus E8 minus 1 plus E7 minus 1, and having discriminant D, where we want to parameterize, we want to write down the equations for real multiplication by OD, okay, by which is the ring of integers in Q square root of P. And again, we use this Shiori-Nozick correspondence, and it turns out that this lattice polarized K3 surface is actually embedded naturally inside the previous one that I described in my theorem. And so what you can do is you can compute this moduli space of lattice polarized K3 surfaces, again by using elliptic vibrations, by using natural elliptic vibrations. Then you use Elke's elliptic hopping / Nishiyama 2 neighbor to get to a vibration with E8, E7 fibers, and from there you read out using the equations above there, so using these equations. Once you have, so the main thing about this is sort of Galois invariant. Somehow this didn't depend on any choices. The Weierstrass coefficients here basically correspond to the coordinates on the moduli space. So this is in fact sort of a Galois invariant description. So once you have these, you can read out those, and once you have those, you can read out these. And so that's what you do. Once you transform to an elliptic vibration with E8 and E7 fibers, you read out the Igusa-Clebsch invariance corresponding to that K3 surface. And then you have, so that gives you basically the map to A2. So the moduli space is the Humbert surface that you've computed. And then to get to the Hilbert modular surface, which is a double cover of the Humbert surface branched along Shimura curves, you have to compute the branch locus and so on. So I won't go into that too much, but it will be in our paper, which is not out yet, but hopefully in a little bit. So let me give you, so let me just say that using these explicit equations, we can get at a lot of new examples in arithmetic. So for example, you can compute genus 2 curves which have very high, which have real multiplication by large discriminants. So here's an example to just finish the talk. I squared equals 36x cubed plus 60x squared plus x minus 104 times 539x cubed minus 492x squared minus 241x plus 232. If you write down this curve of genus 2, this has real multiplication by 089 q squared root of 89. So the Hilbert modular surface there is a general type. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have any rational points. You can find, you can search for rational points and rational curves on these things. And this is an isolated example. For some discriminants, you can even find one-parameter families of genus 2 curves with real multiplication. So I will stop there. Thank you.